everything is okay. This is just the way of life. This is how everybody thinks, right? Oh, problem? That's okay. Life problem also come. It's just the way of life. Just keep going on with your life. Just around the corner, maybe happiness is also waiting for you. So, the reason why we are discussing all this, the various problems, what are the real problems of life, to understand, to bring ourselves to a state of inquisitiveness. To bring ourselves to the point of jigyasa, to ask this question. Okay, I have been doing all these things, so what do I need to do? How do I really become happy? So one should ask the question, as we discussed, the human life begins with inquiry. Athato brahma jigyasa. Therefore, you should inquire. So what kind of inquiry one should have? Not the same type of inquiry. Where is my food? Where is my bed to sleep? Where is my mate? How do I protect myself? How do I plan for future? Not the same type of question. So one should ask, why there is misery in life? I don't want to be in a miserable situation. Why misery is imposed upon me? Why do I have to suffer? Who am I, first of all? What is all this? What is all this whole cosmic manifestation? What is my role in this? Who is the controller of everything? Who is controlling all that? What is my relationship with him? So that is where the jigyasa starts. So first jigyasa is, I don't want to suffer, but suffering is imposed upon me. Why is that? And how I can become free from this suffering? So when we ask this question, so next question becomes, from whom to ask? Right? If you raise a question, whom to ask the question? Can I ask anybody? Can I ask anybody about anything? For example, if somebody has a heart problem, whom do you ask? Do you consult your childhood friend? Oh, I got a heart problem. I need to go for a heart surgery. Can you guide me how to get a heart surgery? Or whom do you ask? Do you go to a best of the best heart surgeon? You try to find out who is the best heart surgeon and inquire from him how to cure this disease. So we need to approach somebody who is qualified to answer that question. So if we have any problem, we don't ask anybody on the street, sir, I have got this janam mrityu jara vyadhi, adi bhautik, adi devik, adi atmik klesh. Can you tell me how to get rid of this problem? What will that person say? Get out of here. Even I don't know what are these things. What can I tell you? So whom do we ask? From where do we get the knowledge? See, a lot of people, everybody want to speak. I've been speaking for whatever 40, 45 minutes so far. So everybody want to speak. Once some people start, they don't want to end. They want to keep speaking and speaking and speaking. But whom to ask, whom to get, from whom to get real knowledge? So once a lady, she went to a doctor. She said, my husband has a very big problem. As soon as he goes to bed, as soon as he goes to sleep, he starts talking. Please tell me how to make him quiet. Doctor said, give him a chance to speak when he is awake. He will not sleep. He will not talk in the sleep. You know, our language is called what? Mother tongue. Why it's called mother tongue? Somebody said mother always speak. Husband doesn't, father doesn't get chance to speak. I didn't say that. So, some people, they just want to keep speaking. They want to talk a lot. Even you ask them something else, they will talk for 1 hour to tell you something else. So whom to ask the question to solve our real problems of life? So this brings up to next important part, which is the methods of acquiring knowledge. From where we, how we acquire knowledge. So there are three prominent ways of acquiring knowledge. Anybody knows what are the three methods to gain knowledge? And we use that in our daily life. The methods to gain knowledge. So the first method is sense perception. So sense perception means whatever I can see, whatever I can smell, whatever I can touch, what I can hear. So based on that, we acquire knowledge through our senses, by practical experience. So that is what science propagates. Until I don't see anything, I don't believe in that. Right? So I believe in only what I see, what I touch, what I feel, what I smell, based on that. So that is sense perception. Now, but the sense perception, is that a foolproof method to acquire knowledge? Is the method of sense perception a foolproof method to acquire knowledge? Or the best method? Yes, no? Okay, so some people say yes, or it's not the right method. Somebody said not sure.
Partial.
Okay. Yes, sense perception, of course, we can gain some knowledge. But it's not the ultimate method of acquiring knowledge. Why? Because our senses are limited. Agree or disagree? Can you see behind this wall? What is behind this wall? So we cannot see behind this wall. We cannot see beyond certain range of light. We cannot hear beyond certain frequency. So we have limitations. Our senses have limitation. Our senses are limited. So the method of sense perception is not a foolproof method to gain knowledge. It can give us some knowledge. Another reason is our senses has, first of all, limitation. Then we have tendency to commit mistakes. Do we make mistakes or no? That's why we have a saying, to err is human. We have tendency to commit mistake. So, we have tendency to be illusioned. Do we get illusioned or no? So we have a optical illusion. If you put a straw in the water, it looks what? Twisted. And there are so many examples of optical illusion. So our ears cannot hear beyond certain frequency. Or sometimes we cannot even differentiate between the hissing of a snake or a whistle of the cooker. And in the dark, sometimes people mistakenly think a snake to be a rope or a rope to be a snake. Now the tongue, the same tongue can give you a different perception. So you eat a lemon and then eat an orange. The orange will taste very sweet. And you, first you eat sweet and then eat the orange. The same orange will taste very sour, very tangy. So what is that? Because we have limitation. The senses are limited. So the ears, tongue, skin, eyes, everything has limitation. Then we have tendency. So this is an optical illusion, example of optical illusion. So what do you see? You see a cup or two faces? Both. And sometimes people see only one of these. You see a square or a rectangle? So, tendency to commit mistakes. So far, we have senses are limited. Why? Because or the method of sense perception is not the right method because senses are limited. We have tendency to commit mistakes. And then we have tendency to be illusioned. And we have propensity to cheat others. Do you have propensity to cheat others? Maybe not everybody. Maybe you all are sadhus. So, but these are the main four drawbacks of the senses. So, tendency to commit mistakes. All our scientific theories. So, So did all these theories came out perfect in one time? All these theories keep correcting with time. Oh no, that time we made this mistake. It was not actually this, it is like this. So all these theories keep revising with time. So we have tendency to commit mistake. We have tendency to cheat others. So that is sense perception. So this method of sense perception is limited. Next one is Anuman Praman, the second method of acquiring knowledge. What is this method? What does this method mean? Anuman Praman. Or learning from hypothesis or assumptions. Speculation. So Dr. Frog theory. Once two frogs met, one frog from outside came into a well. He met Dr. Frog in the well. He said, I came from Atlantic Ocean. So he told Dr. Frog in the well, I'm coming from Atlantic Ocean. So this Dr. Frog asked, how big is this Atlantic Ocean? Maybe it's 2 times bigger than my well. Oh no, it's very big. Maybe 3 times, 4 times, 10 times bigger than my well. No, it's very big. So that is Dr. Frog theory. Try to understand with our hypothesis. Speculation. Once there was a medical conference. So a lot of doctors in a lunch break, they were standing outside in the lawn, just enjoying the sunshine. And one person walked by. And he was limping. He was dragging his feet. And all these doctors who were watching, they started discussing with each other. One person said, oh, he has some neuron problem, this nerve is damaged, that's why the signal is not getting down to the leg and that's why he is dragging his foot. And another person, orthopedic surgeon, he said, this tendon has a problem, that's why he is not able to walk properly. So everybody started giving their own speculation or their own reasoning why this person is limping. So he said, let's call this person and ask him. Let's see among us who is correct. So they called that person. And they said, see, we think this person thinks this is your problem. This person is thinking this is your problem. Can you tell us what is your real problem? Yeah, I don't have any of these problems. Just my slipper broke. So I'm dragging my foot. So that is Anuman Praman. We try to speculate. Come to a conclusion based on some speculation. There is another story of 5 blind people. They go to a zoo to see an elephant, not to see, to experience an elephant. We have never came across an elephant. They all go to the zoo. So all these 5 people are around the elephant. Somebody touches the trunk of the elephant, somebody touches the tail, somebody touches the leg, somebody touches the stomach, somebody touches the ear, and they try to give different conclusions how the elephant is. So somebody who touches the trunk of the elephant, the nose, he says, oh, elephant is like a big hose pipe. And somebody touched the tail of the elephant, he says, elephant is like a rope. Somebody touched the skin, the stomach of the elephant, he says, elephant is like a big ball. Somebody touched the ear of the elephant. Oh, elephant is like a fan. The swinging fan. And somebody touched the teeth of the elephant. He said, elephant is like a big spear. So everybody is trying to come up with the conclusion. What does elephant looks like? And then a person walked by. And he described how the elephant is. So we come to a conclusion. We try to gain knowledge through Anuman Praman. All these scientific theories fit under that category. Anuman Praman, this Darwin theory, Big Bang theory, what are these theories? Are there a scientific proof of these theories? Experimentally done in a lab and proven? Has anybody done a Big Bang in a lab and produced a whole universe come out? Or forget about a universe, maybe even a small house. I need a house. Can somebody create? So all these theories are what? based on Anuman Praman. Somebody think, oh, I think this is how life started. A billion years back, some chemicals mixed together, there was a big blow, and from there life started. And Darwin theory is like that, oh, earlier monkeys, then they started becoming straight. So monkeys became humans. But he forgot to explain how some of the monkeys jumped onto the benches and some started still kept hanging on the branches. So all these theories are under the Anuman Praman, speculation. Starts with the hypothesis, assumption. Now what is the next method, the third method of acquiring knowledge? So third method is called Shabda Praman. What is that Shabda? Hearing from somebody. So if you want to get an answer to some problem, asking from somebody who knows that. Hearing from an authority. That is called Shabda Praman. For example, if a boy wanted to ask his mother, who is my father? Or if a boy wanted to ask, who is my father? Who is the best person? Mother will tell, see, he is your daddy. But the boy said, no, I don't believe you. I will go with the other two methods. A sense perception or Anuman Praman, experimental. I want to do experimental research. So what will be that? Test out the DNA of all the male population of the world. Will you be able to reach the conclusion? So what is the right method? Shabda Praman. Hearing from an authority. So now question becomes, what is the authority? What is the time? Should we stop here or everybody is okay, another 15 minutes? Okay, we'll continue another 10 minutes. Let's see if we can finish this topic. So some of these topics, the way it's designed, maybe average 1.5 hour. And some maybe hour and 10 minutes. So if we want to finish as a topic rather than splitting the topic and trying to continue that way, it's better to finish the topic as a flow of thought. So the next question becomes, then who is the authority? So for something to be considered as an authority, there is a criteria. The way how we can consider something to be authority. So the test of authority, the proof of authority is, anybody knows how we can consider something as authority? It has stood the test of time. It has never been proven wrong. And it has never changed its version with time. If something fits into that criteria, that is the real authority. So what is that again? Which has stood the test of time. Second is, it has never been proven wrong. And it has never changed with the finding of new facts. Now all these scientific theories, can they be considered as Shabda Praman? Every few years, we have a new version of the theory. Right? So they keep changing with time. So right there, it doesn't fit into that criteria. So what is that authority? That authority is called scriptures. Hearing from a bona fide authority. Evam parampara praptam imam raja rishayo vidhu. So the Anuman Praman and Shabda Praman, the difference is that Anuman Praman is ascending process of acquiring knowledge. And the Shabda Praman is descending process of acquiring knowledge. So ascending process is, we try to go higher and higher. Try to peel the layers of the, as they say, peeling the layer of the onion to come to some understanding. So we try to go higher and higher, ascending process of acquiring knowledge. Whereas Shabda Praman is descending. So you learn from somebody, who has learned from somebody, who has learned from somebody. And there has to be somebody ultimate from whom everything, all the knowledge comes. So the Shabda Praman gives absolute knowledge. It's a perfect process. And the test of authority is, as I said, does not change with finding of new proof. It has stood the test of time and it has never been proven wrong. So that authority is called the Vedic scriptures. Now, how the Vedic scriptures are considered the authority? So unfortunately, people in the current scenario in the modern world, we don't put faith in the scriptures. We may put faith in everything else. Somebody tells you, oh, you know what? In the scriptures, this is mentioned. Immediately the answer will be, oh, that's all old thing. I'm a modern person, scientific person. I don't believe in all that old stuff. So we don't put faith in the scripture, but we put faith in everything else. Whatever the media may say, whatever the neighbor may say, whatever a person walking on the road may say, whatever an advertisement billboard may say, we believe in everything. Internet. People Google. Google Baba. Everything. They want to find something. Let's ask Google Baba. He knows everything. So we believe in everything. From morning till night. We put faith in everything. In the morning you wake up. What is the first thing you do? You go to your restroom, maybe. Hopefully you do that. So you go to restroom, you brush your teeth. So you take your brush, you open your toothpaste. Do you ever get a doubt? What is really there in my toothpaste? Maybe if the company put some poison in that. No, we put complete faith. Oh, it's a prestigious branded toothpaste. Colgate or whatever, I even don't know all the name. I don't use all those toothpaste. I use my natural toothpaste. So then you dress up, get shower, come eat your breakfast, open your refrigerator, take a milk bottle out, take a cereal box out, mix them together. Do you ever get a doubt? What if somebody put an injection of poison in this milk? I don't know from where this milk came. See, earlier you ask somebody, a child, in the old time, even now in India, villages or something, you ask a child, from where the milk come? He will say cow or buffalo. Now even in India, they say, from where the milk come? You ask a child, from where the milk come? Doodh wala bhaiya deke aata hai. Here, you ask a kid, from where the milk come? Maybe Kroger or Meyer or this store. People may even not know from where the milk comes. So we don't get doubt. What if somebody mix something in that? We have complete faith. Oh, it's a branded milk. Horizon. Or this or that. Then you go to your work. You're driving maybe a car or you are going out of town riding in a plane. How many times when driving in a, or when traveling in a plane, how many times you have gone to the pilot's cabin and looked inside? Who is driving that plane? How many of you have really done that? Who knows if a monkey is driving that plane? But we know, oh, I know it's in safe hands. We have full trust in that. Whatever newspaper is saying, this happened there, that happened there, we have full trust in that. Whatever is shown in the TV, we have full trust in that. So we put faith in everything except scriptures. When it comes to scriptures, how do I believe this? I was not there when this was written. Have you seen somebody writing these scriptures? So all these questions come. So, but actually, the scriptures has the most reliable knowledge, which has never been proven wrong, which has stood the test of time, and it has never been changed. It's not that the scriptures were put down in written form 5,000 years back, and there is no new version of the scriptures. So Bhagavad Gita had 700 shlokas, which Krishna spoke 5,000 years back, and Vyasadeva put it into writing form. And still, if you read Bhagavad Gita, it's still 700 shlokas. It's not that somebody cut out 2 shlokas or somebody add 2 shlokas. So the real shlokas, the Sanskrit shlokas, it's intact. Somebody may give their own meaning. Yes, everybody can do that. They can give their own translation, their own commentary. But the original shlokas remain the same. All the scriptures, the Puranas, 18 Puranas, the 108 Upanishads, everything is same. There is no new additions or subtractions done to the scriptures. And the knowledge given in scripture has stood the test of time. How is that? So there are a few examples from Srimad Bhagavatam. which has given or described the current scenario also. First of all, Bhagavad described this planet Earth is known as Bhugol. So how in the how recent in the modern world we came to know this Earth is round? 500 years back. 500 years back, they finally came to know Earth is round. Earlier they said, oh, Earth is flat maybe. So there was a very popular story of this Columbus traveling. He was trying to go to India and he ended up in America. That's how this America was discovered. And at that time finally, they come to this understanding, Earth is not flat, it's round. Earlier they thought, oh, Earth is flat, one day we'll all fall into the ditch. But in Bhagavatam, Earth is described as round. The word used is Bhugol. Earth is round. And it was put down in writing 5,000 years back. Then the Bhagavatam already described there are seven continents. Swaptadweep. Okay, so the word used is Swaptadweep. Seven continents. Again, 5,000 years back, put in writing. In verbal form, it was available much longer beyond. And when did we come to know, in from in our modern understanding, that Earth has seven continents? Earlier they thought it was five continents, and later on then revised. Oh no, there are seven continents. But Bhagavatam is describing Swaptadweep, seven continents. Then the whole details of embryology, how the baby grows in the womb of a mother. As I said, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 26-27. It describes the whole growth of a child in the womb of mother, step by step. Very surprising for the gynecologist also. Use of the cow dung and urine. So now, so many medicines are being made using the cow dung and urine. There are hundreds of patents for the medicines which are using cow dung and urine to make medicines, to cure so many diseases. And earlier, when it was said, oh, use of a cow dung or urine, either as a fuel or as a medicine, and people will say, ah, this is somebody animal's stool. How can somebody use that? Even for fuel. But that is the best fuel available. Most biodegradable, and it can never run out. All our modern fuel system, the gasoline and the whatever we use, it may run out. The use of tulsi plant for so many medicines. Now the scientific research also, it shows the tulsi leaves have so much of medicinal properties. Right? Now, apart from all these predictions, scriptures give prediction about the future. So again, it was put down in writing 5,000 years back by Srila Vyasadev. And at that time, he mentioned about the people who will come in future, like Ashoka, Chanakya, Lord Buddha, even Jesus Christ. Their prediction is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhavishya Puran. So all this was written down so much back, and even Bhagavatam describes the symptoms of Kali Yuga, the present time where we live in. It describes the symptom of that. And what are that? It says, Tachachanudinam dharmam satyam shocham kshamadayama kalena balina rajan nashyati ayu kala bala smriti. With the passage of time in Kali Yuga, all these things will diminish. What are those things? Dharm, satya, shocham, kshama, daya, cleanliness, religion, mercy, truthfulness, the physical strength of people and the duration of life. All these things will reduce with passage of time. Is this happening or not? So you see, 100 years back, people may be more healthier, and maybe like our grandfather, great-grandfather, they may be living healthy till the age of 70, 80, and they could do so much of physical work. Now, 40s, 50s, people are getting so much of diseases. And the memory power, our memories are reducing day by day. So you can vouch for that. Even when you were in your childhood, maybe you could remember so many phone numbers. Now you tell somebody, oh, this is my phone number. He will ask 10 times. Oh, slow, slow, please tell me again. So our memory powers are going down. Physical strength is going down. Mercy, truthfulness, cleanliness. All these qualities are going down. And this is already mentioned in scripture that this will happen in future. And this will further keep degrading. So the scriptures, the Vedic scriptures are considered as the topmost authority. If we really want to get knowledge. Now somebody may again doubt, but how do I believe in scriptures? Who wrote these scriptures first of all? Somebody, the sadhu, some old people sitting in the caves, they wrote something on the palm prints. First of all those things still available, or somebody has manipulated or changed those things? So the scriptures are actually called the words of God. They are called aparusheya. They are not a man-made creation. It's not something man-made. It's given by God himself. So God gave the scriptures to his disciple and he gave it further down. This is how the scriptures have come down in a parampara system. And at 5000 years back, Srila Vyasadeva, he composed all that knowledge which was available in oral form, he put it into writing form, lipibadh. And Vyasadeva's name actually originally was Shri Krishna Dvapayana. So he was a blackish complexion and he was born on a dweep, island. So his name was Krishna Dvipayana. And because he wrote all these, put all these scriptures into writing form, and he expanded the scriptures. So originally the Veda was only one. When God gave all the Vedic knowledge, it's just his oral reception. So it's just one Veda. So Vyasadeva compiled it and divided it into four. So that is what we know as the four Vedas. Samaveda, Rigveda, Yajurveda, Atharvaveda. So Vyasadeva composed Krishna Dvipayana. So that's why his name became Ved Vyas, because he expanded the Vedas. So his name became Ved Vyas. So the scriptures are the word of God. And 5000 years back, Krishna himself gave a condensed summary of all the Upanishads. So you know there are 108 Upanishads. And Krishna himself, he put all those Upanishads in a condensed form, in the form of Bhagavad Gita. So in Bhagavad Gita Mahatmya, it says, Sarva Upanishado Gavo Dogda Gopala Nandana Partha Vatsa Sudhir Bhokta Dugdham Gita Amritam Mahat. So Krishna, he becomes a cowherd. So Krishna took the role of a cowherd, a milkman. So Krishna is acting as a milkman. And when a milkman milks a cow, what does he do? He uses a calf. To milk a cow, you bring the calf. Calf drinks some milk. Then the cow releases all its milk. And we can take out all the milk which everybody else can use. So to milk a cow, a calf is needed. So Krishna is acting as a milkman. And he is milking all these scriptures, all these Upanishads, using Arjuna as a calf. Sarvo Upanishado Gavo. All these Upanishads are used as a cow. Dogdha Gopalanandana. And Gopalanandana, who is that? Lord Krishna. He is milking that cow. Partha Vatsa. Arjuna is used as a calf. And the milk, nectarian milk, is taken out from all these scriptures, the condensed summary. Dugdham Gita Amritam Mahat. And this nectarian milk will be relished by all intelligent class of people. So Bhagavad Gita is one of the most important scriptures in the umbrella of Vedic scriptures. Unfortunately, the situation, particularly in our so-called, what we call as Hinduism, you ask anybody, what is our scripture? People, first of all, don't have clear understanding. Oh, scripture, we have many. Oh, we have four Vedas, we have Upanishads, we have so many of Puranas, this, that, we have Devi Bhagavat, this Bhagavat, that Bhagavat, we have this Baba's scripture, that Baba's scripture. But you ask any Christian, what is your scripture? Very clearly, there is a Bible. Ask any Muslim, what is your scripture? Very clearly, there is a Quran. Unfortunately, ask any Hindu, they don't have a clear understanding. So that information, that understanding, that knowledge is missing. Because people are not willing to understand that. So Bhagavad Gita is the essence of all the scriptures. And another Bhagavad Gita Mahatmya, the importance of Bhagavad Gita is Gitaya Pustakam Yatra, Yatra Pat Parvartate, Tatra Sarvani Tirthani, Prayagadini Tatravai. That is the importance, potency of Bhagavad Gita. Gitaya Pustakam Yatra, wherever the Bhagavad Gita book is there, forget about even reading that book, wherever the Bhagavad Gita book is kept, and Yatra Pat Parvartate, wherever Bhagavad Gita is read, Tatra Sarvani Tirthani, all the holy places, like Prayag, they all assemble in that place. So that is the power, the potency of Bhagavad Gita. Just carrying the Bhagavad Gita has so much benefit. And if somebody try to open it, read it, understand the message, then you can imagine how much benefit one can derive. So this is the real method of acquiring knowledge. If we really want to understand the real purpose of life, so the bottom line from today's session is to understand or ask a question, what is the purpose of my life? How I can get rid of all the problems and attain the real happiness? The real lasting happiness, not the temporary happiness. Yes, we can attain temporary happiness from various ways as are propagated in the society. But how can I attain the lasting peace, the lasting happiness? So today we just discussed briefly to shake up everybody, to bring to that understanding, first of all to come to that understanding, to open up to ask questions. So from next session we will dive into the further topics, asking from the first inquiry, does God exist? So we'll start with that question and scientifically understanding. So everybody in scientific world, we want proof. Give me the proof. Show me this. So we'll scientifically go into this topic. Does God exist? So thank you very much for your attentive listening. If anybody has any question or comment, please feel free to ask. And thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So, anybody has any question or comment?
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
So, in Christianity, like they believe Adam and Eve are the first man and woman originated in this world. So, like that, in our religion, how do that came? Like, how the first person came?
So, the first person and first woman from Lord Vishnu's navel, Brahma was born, and from Brahma, the first human being was generated, which is called Manu and Satrupa. So they are the first male and female, Manu and Satrupa, from where all the progenies came. So this is what equates to Adam and Eve. But the time is different from what Christianity says, because they say life started 6,000 years back. Okay? And we know life started, there is no beginning of life. It started billions and billion years back. And there are so many of stories in the scriptures defining various personality which happened millions and billions years back. So Manu and Satrupa are the first male and female, first husband and wife, from where all the progenies came. So from Manu, all this human race came. Manav, that's why we are called Manav, which came from Manu or Manushya. So all this word come from Manu. So very briefly, but we will discuss more in detail in the coming sessions. So I'm just answering very briefly. Any other questions or comments?
And that's where the Bible's problems started. The world is flat and all that. The Christian and the scientists were persecuted, and that's why religion and science.
So that's why at that time people started giving up religion, because science was showing no, life existed maybe 30,000, 50,000, and then 100,000 years back.
And
that scientifically they were able to prove. And Bible says life started 6,000 years back. So it doesn't match with what science has proven. So people were giving up the faith in religion. In the Christianity world, basically.
Earth is the center of the world, but that's not the way the Copernicus and all those said that sun is the earth is revolving under the from sun. So that's where the fight of all this logic, religion, and science fight started. In fact, Galileo was put in prison and all that, Copernicus and all that, Pope really punished him.
So all started in 5th century, a lot of things happened. In the Roman rule. Any other questions or comments? If not, then we'll stop here. Again, thank you very much. So please continue on this journey. And if you want, you can invite your friends. Let them experience this journey as well. So we'll, at the end of the session, we end with the Narasimha prayer. Prayer to Lord Narasimhadev. So we can call all the kids also. So we can sing the Narasimha prayer. And then after that, we'll honor Prasadam. Your dinner feast is waiting. I know everybody must be very hungry. Some of you might be even thinking, when this person will stop talking. So you can get to the next phase, which is everybody is... interested in that activity. Okay, all the kids, please come. No, this quickly we'll do, okay? Narasimha prayer and Prasadam prayer. 5 minutes. Who is going to sing? Okay, Raghav, you sing. Let Raghav sing.
Hare Krishna.
Okay, Raghav, you sing. Hardik, put the mic back there.
Please do.
Just the top of pizza.